You know, miracles happen every day. They happen around us every day. And I was reminded of this a few weeks ago when Brian and Norma Spittle came back from a mission trip to Honduras. And Brian was sharing with me a little bit of their story of what had happened. Many of you all know Brian and Norma Spittle are eye doctors that have a place just down from the mall. And every year they go on a mission trip. In fact, Brian told me that he's been on an international mission trip every year since he was 16. So over the past 17 years, he's been to 8 countries, like Brazil and Honduras and Costa Rica and Guatemala, Belize, Canada and Mexico, just some amazing trips. And I kind of asked him a question of, well, why? Why do you go on these mission trips? And he said, well, you know, it's incumbent upon us to share with others the grace in our lives. And I thought, wow, that's an awesome statement of why you would go on a mission trip. And as we talked a little bit more about the field trips with Jesus, he said, you know, one of the things about these field trips with Jesus is that it gets you out of your box, right? You start to pay more attention. And I wish he was here to share the story because he's so better at sharing it than I am. But he had to be in Orlando for a conference. But in talking with him, he said, you know, you just begin to pay more attention to all the things around you. Because when you are out of your box, you are praying more to God for protection or for affirmation that you are in the right place doing the right thing. And it's a wonderful thing. Because then you have some expectations you had before the trip, and you're hoping to see if they are going to be met throughout the trip, and seeing if God's going to encourage you. And he said, often what he has found as he has gone on these mission trips, that many people will find their first mission trip as the most exciting mission trip. The greatest emotional high was from their first mission trip, and all other subsequent mission trips get compared to that first mission trip. And that part of that is because in that first mission trip, you don't know what to expect, right? You are so out of your zone into the zone of the unknown, and that you start to rely on God more and more, and you start to see God doing things that you never thought you could see him do. And you experience a little bit of culture shock, and you get a rush from helping others. So I asked him a little bit of the specifics of this trip, of what he went on. And they went to Lorenzo. Now, there are a few pictures, and I'm going to have to walk you through this. But this is Norma, and the next one is of Brian. And they're kind of having a mealtime, planning out some of the trip, and going on to the next one. This is some of the place and the sites that they saw when they were in Honduras. Honduras is a beautiful place with scenery like this, and go on to the next one, and like this. Anybody want to go? All right? And then like this. And I just think, wow, that is astounding, breathtaking. Honduras is also a place with streets like this, and with people like this, and with little creatures like this, okay? So you see all sorts of things. But they worked in the hospital of San Lorenzo, and in that, they were doing some eye exams. And some eye exams that begin as simple as this, right? And they did 550 eye exams in 4 days. Are you all doing the math with me? 550 eye exams in 4 days. They did children, older adults, all along. And as they did some surgeries, they did 160 surgeries in 5 days, okay? And they were sometimes working with equipment like this, okay? And then you see kind of some of the results of some who stuck around afterwards. But in it, he was sharing with me, it's just astounding. They actually saw people receiving their sight on this trip. Isn't that amazing? And we talk about God giving sight to the blind. Did you know he's still in the business of doing it today? He is still doing it today. And hearing more and more about the story, he says lots of miracles were coming out of this trip and other trips he's been on. Some of it is just the reality of seeing a person receive their sight. Other pieces of it is knowing that God can do again and again and again, that he can take people from all different places, put them together as a team, place them in a foreign country, and suddenly egos go away, and all this stuff goes away, and you see somewhat of the best that humanity can be as they're reaching out for others, and it's refreshing. That in itself is a miracle for some people to get along in the same space, right? In the same place, let alone in a foreign country. Can I get an amen? Those of you who have been on a international mission trip and you think there's nowhere to go from these people. Okay, you never hadn't had that experience. All right. But it's humbling, he says. Humbling to see folks who have arrived at this spot 4 a.m. in the morning, who've walked miles and miles in order to be there because they knew that they were going to be there and have the opportunity for perhaps a procedure that could alter things for them. And he said, it's amazing. Some of these folks, they come dressed to the nines, and dressed to the nines for them is their one best apron, okay? And they come and they line up and they're nervous. He said, it's just amazing to watch how nervous. It's like they're coming for a job interview. They're not sure what's going to happen. As they have this, you know, this eye exam, they're not sure whether they're going to be told they can receive their sight or they won't be able to be fixed or they might get a reason for why they're experiencing what they are not. Their experience or not. And so there's this kind of anxiety as the people come. And as they come and they experience some of the transformation, Brian was saying, it's like a four-year-old at Christmas receiving the news of finally gaining their sight. And he said some that they told that they couldn't fix. And he said, and they told him the news and they said, he just watched as relief came over him as they understood why and what was going on. And see, friends, that's some of the miracles that are happening every day. In this trip, there were some things that opened Brian's eyes. Two people under 30 came in, and as they did the eye exam, they recognized they couldn't fix them. They recognized that had they been in the United States, there would have been, you know, this thing would have been caught soon enough, and they could have done something about it. Had they been in the United States, the procedure would have been afforded to them. But they went on to work with others, and there was one person who came who was absolutely blind, 40-year-old person, absolutely blind, and a simple cataract was removed, a process that takes 6 minutes in the United States. Took 22 minutes there, but still a miracle to me, you know. Remove the cataract, and suddenly this person goes from absolute blindness in both eyes to sight. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's a holy moment. That's a sacred moment. I just can't imagine what it would have been like to be on that trip, to see that happen. And as this case not only happened with one person, but several, he said that there's this kind of quiet admiration. He said, you would think that people would just run away leaping and celebrating and shouting. He said, but you know what? People just kind of, you could see them processing. Is this really happening? Can I really see? Is this going to last? You know? And as they just begin to understand the miracle that has just happened to them, Brian goes on to say, you know, the best way to develop a relationship with God is to grow it. Build the foundation through study. But when it's time, allow him to take you outside of your box, because that's where growth, that's where understanding, and that's where your personality can be formed that you can't get from just studying or even sitting in worship. He said, I have found it's absolutely profound that it seems as though a year's worth of worship can happen in a day. When you're out of your box, when you're being stretched, when you're growing in the Lord in a different way, and it makes for the miracle of transformation in you that becomes permanent. Friends, miracles happen every day. Miracles happen around us every day. The question is, can we see them? Are we aware to them or not? In the book we've been going through, Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson, he talks about a phrase called inattentive blindness. And I find this absolutely fascinating because I find it absolutely realistic. He says, we are surrounded by miracles. They're around us all the time, but we take them for granted. Our minds are wired in such a way that when we receive a new stimulus, or when a new stimulus is introduced into our environment, we become intensely aware of it. But over time, we adapt to the sights, sounds, and smells that constantly surround us. Eventually, awareness fades, and the constants in our environment become invisible. Psychologists call this process inattentional blindness. It happens with sunrises and snow and life in general. It is so easy to lose the joy of living, isn't it? Few things compare to the joy experienced by a bride and a groom on their wedding day. But take the romance out of the equation and the relationship becomes routine. The birth of a child is an awe-inspiring miracle. But start changing dirty diapers in the middle of the night. And some of the joy goes away. Thank you for your honesty, you know. And most of us were joyful when we landed our job, but too many people end up living for the weekend. See, what happens is this. The sacred becomes routine. And we not only forfeit spiritual adventure, but we also start losing the joy of our salvation. Friends, miracles are around us every day, but because of inattentive blindness, we miss out on so much. Isn't it a little ironic that we have a hard time believing God for the little stuff when we take the big stuff for granted? The sunrise, the snow, the fact that we are breathing, the fact that we don't have to control how we pump blood through our bodies, the fact that we have these things within our bodies, they're called bones, and the bones are connected to muscle and ligaments, and those of you who know more or, you know, can correct me later, but it's just fascinating, right? And at some point, my brain is sending signals all throughout my body in order to then help me talk. Some of y'all wish that didn't work as well as it did, and then others of y'all wishing it would be more effective, right? And then it's just astounding how you can just carry it further and further and further, right? We have this little thing in our ear. You know, our ear is not just this piece, but you go into it and there are bones, and there's this stuff that kind of holds it all together. And if it becomes off kilter, then we won't stand up straight. It's just astounding. And yet every day, we take these miracles for granted. I love this passage of Scripture, Exodus chapter 3. It says, now Moses was what? Tending the flock. Moses was at work. He was a shepherd, right? He was tending the flock. He wasn't, you know, at the top of his game or the lowest of his game. He was tending the flock of who? Jethro, his father-in-law, okay? The priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And in verse 2 it says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. It gets exciting. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Insert, with a head turn, right? So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. And what did he say? Moses, Moses. He called him by name, and Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Isn't it beautiful that God is predictably unpredictable? I mean, that's who God is. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but God can surprise us anywhere at any time. I mean, where was Moses? Moses was in the desert, right? And this is where it happens. Many of us have felt like we were in the desert. We were in the wilderness. And somehow there was this inkling that God was with us. God was present. Perhaps you have been in one of those encounters where you felt like he was calling to you, speaking a word. We don't have to wait till we're in the promised land for God to be speaking to us, right? And we don't have to necessarily be in the pits of slavery for God to speak to us. There is that piece of life in between. And God speaks to us. And Moses was doing just about the most ordinary thing he could do. He was working. He was watching sheep. I mean, think of this job. Lots of time to kick rocks. Are you with me? Okay. Lots of time to look around. Lots of time to say, oh, you know, or to dream or to hope. He was about his ordinary routine, and God can meet us in our ordinary routine of every day. And why? Why a bush? Why did God, you know, decide to set this bush on fire? Why not just send the lightning bolt? Why not a dust, you know, sandstorm? Why not just, you know, the person of the angel and a stranger? Why the bush? See, the rabbis have spent years and years, obviously thousands of them, thinking through why the bush. One of the greatest pieces about why the bush I love is that there is no place devoid of God's presence. Amen? God is ever present. God is everywhere, all at the same time. God is here. God is there. God is everywhere. God can show up anytime, any place. God is in the sanctuary. God is outside of the walls of this building. God is at work. God is in your car. God, yeah, not in the car, but God is with you in your car, right? God is in creation. God is on the ball field. This is not new, right? Most of us who believe in God recognize that's a fundamental aspect of who God is. God is all powerful, right? But God is ever present. That's just another quality and characteristic of who God is. And God meets us in the monotony and in the mundane. God is everywhere. So why a bush? Because good routines become bad routines if we don't change the routine. That's not mine. Wish it was, but it's not mine. Mark says it in the book on this chapter, but good routines become bad routines if we don't change the routine. Teachers get this. Teachers, they design bulletin boards. And every 30 days, not just because they want to teach a different calendar month to those in the classroom, they change the bulletin. Because the reality is, more than like 2 weeks and something, just we ignore it from then on. And so it gets changed. There's a danger that we would miss divine appointments because we see them sometimes as human interruptions. But sometimes those interruptions are the exact appointment God had intended for us. As we go about the day, sometimes we have our plans, as we talked a little bit last week about our responsibilities. We're going about our responsibility, and in comes this interruption. And we think, it's keeping me from the very, very main thing I need to do. But sometimes, what if we were to consider that interruption is the very thing that we need to pay attention to? We get so busy and busy and busy about our lives. Just show of hands, you know, misery loves company. How many of y'all feel at this stage and season of life, you are just going about Mach 1, okay? you just feel like life is busy. Okay, it took a second for some of you all to admit, but we get in such a pace of life that it's one thing after the next, and we've got the next thing planned before we finish the first thing, and it's on to the next, on to the next, on to the next, and somehow, sometimes we go about the thing, and we get to this point, some of us, and we just wake up and we go, oh, really, again, 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 and we get into the same routine with our spiritual lives, and we go, and we go, and we go, and we get into sometimes a spiritual slump. We start to feel weak rather than energized. We start to feel defeated and discouraged rather than encouraged and inspired. That's not what God has in mind. We need to stop doing some things in order to be on the lookout for the moment when God decides to unexpectedly and unforgettably invade our lives. So there's a way to get out of kind of a rut. A rut removal remedy, perhaps we might say. In Mark Batterson's book, there's a second quote that I wanted to share with you, and it's on the law of requisite variety. See, I can't come up with this stuff. I mean, that I just love that. I'm like, man, didn't know that term. This is great. But it makes sense. According to the law of requisite variety, the survival of any system depends on its capacity to cultivate variety in its internal structures. Break that down. Disequilibrium is life. Seems strange, doesn't it? But think about it. Equilibrium is death. Prolonged equilibrium dulls our senses, numbs our minds, and atrophies our muscles. In physical exercise, routines eventually become counterproductive. If you exercise the same way every time you work out, your muscles start adapting and stop growing. So you need to change the routine. You need to disorient them. The same is true spiritually. This is precisely why we need the wild goose in our lives. Remember last week we talked about the wild goose is the Celtic perception of God, of chasing after God, not knowing which direction God may go. But without the wild goose, life becomes an empty routine or dull ritual. The wild goose keeps things crazy. I like that. I like that. Wild goose keeps things crazy. See, it works with exercise, right? This principle of requisite variety. It works in the movies when that great theologian Jerry Seinfeld said in the Bee movie, okay? You know, where he's the bee. Think cartoon character of a bee going to the closet in the morning, and as he's trying to figure out what to wear for the day, he says, ah, yellow and black, yellow and black, yellow and black. Ooh, black and yellow. Let's shake it up a bit, right? I mean, that's part of it. It works there as well, but it works in business about creating space. You've heard of folks talking about creating margin in life, and that's where you can get best productivity. I love, and many of you all know I've been reading this book. I started it in the summer. I still haven't finished. By the tabs there, you see I'm halfway through, and that's screeding, a combination of skimming and reading. But in there, one of the principles that John Acuff, who's the author, he comes back and he says to his friend, you know, I went on this vacation. I decided I wasn't going to accomplish anything. I wasn't going to do anything. I wasn't going to achieve anything. And I built sandcastles and I just watched the waves and I, you know, just enjoyed the time. And he said, I came back refreshed. And his friend said, that's awesome. That is awesome. Now you have to figure out how to have that on Tuesday. Without the beach. How can you make vacation happen on Tuesday without the beach? Some of you are all like, yeah, tell me, because this is going to be good, right? And he says, you have to build Central Park. I thought, ooh, That's a concept. That's a picture. If you're in a plane and you're flying over Central Park in New York, you think, what a waste of space. I mean, all the buildings and there's this green spot. Think of all of the buildings that they could build there. Think of all of the productivity that could happen in that little space. Think of all the money that could be gained by putting up some high rises. You know, fill it up and they will come, right? And yet the point is, you need Central Park. Build Central Park into your life of this feeling like you're going Mach 1. So how are you building Central Park into Monday, into Tuesday, into your weeks, your months, your years? And I love that principle out of a business book. And I think, you know what? This is great because, you know what? God's been talking about this since creation. This is the principle of Sabbath. Right? The idea that, man, God could have gotten a whole lot more done if he had just worked on the seventh day. Think of all the other pieces of creation he could have made. I mean, look what he did in 6 days. Imagine just one more day, God. And look what you could have done. He said, that's not how I wired you. I didn't wire you for 24/7. I wired you differently. So, friends, what we need to do in order to get out of this rut is to routinely disrupt the routine. You like that? Routinely disrupt the routine. For those of you who love routine, here's an opportunity to routinely disrupt your routine, okay? And those of you who like just variety, just keep it up. You know, teach the rest of us. But most of us find that there is an awful lot of routine in our lives, and it needs to be disrupted. So what are you doing every day that's building Central Park in your day? It doesn't have to be an expansive amount of time, but maybe even just pockets of time. What are you doing to change the way that you walk down the hallway or the way that you drive to work? I know, sorry, shocking. What about, you know, I eat peanut butter and jelly almost every day of my life, you know, for lunch, except when I get to go out with some of you all, you know, and what if I, instead of using strawberry preserves, used grape jelly? Oh, I mean, live a little. That's right, you know. What if we were to change up our spiritual practices of the day? Would that bring some freshness? It's good to have the routine because that helps ensure that it's going to happen. But on the other side, if you are feeling in a spiritual slump and in a rut, why not change it up a bit? And if you're always journaling, try and go a day without the journal and spend the time just talking out loud. If you are always reading through this devotional, what about reading through just the Bible? If you always refer to God as Heavenly Father, what about just for a week saying Almighty God or Heavenly Abba or Wild Goose? Yeah, there's one, right? Or choose a name. There are over 400 to choose from, okay? What if daily we were to routinely disrupt our routine? What if weekly we were to disrupt our routine? And make sure that we had that Central Park in our lives, a time where we're not advancing anything. We're not controlling anything. We're not manipulating anything. We're not earning anything. But God's in control. God's on his throne. What if monthly we were to just plant something in our month that where we force ourselves to be creative. We read a book. We write a blog, or we paint a painting, or we create a craft, or we tell a story. Just get into that other zone of where you're created. What if yearly you were intentionally disrupting your routine? You were putting in vacation or mission trip. What if you were taking yourself outside of your comfort zone in routine time so that it might force you and me in order to depend more upon God, that then we might see in a different way the miracles that are all around us. I have a strange prayer for you this week. I had a strange one last week, right? Today's a no-go on the status quo, right? But I have another strange prayer this week. I pray that you all might just become absorbed in praising God for just some moment, right? That you're caught off guard and you just start being in that other place, right? And you're just out there, right? Thinking about, I'm breathing. That means air, which is made up of oxygen, right? And carbon dioxide is going into my body, and you just start going through a process of praising God for an amazing peace that you don't normally think about. And that as you go about that, and you get kind of lost in space, you know, and somebody catches you and they say, hey, you with me? You can then say, oh, I was on a field trip with Jesus. I was in Wonderland, right? Just in wonder, in awe of who God is. But you have to have space. You have to make space. You have to create Central Park in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year for that to happen. The danger is if we don't, then we miss these divine appointments with God. But the joy is if we do, and if we live into how we have been created, then we will start to be in awe and wonder of who God is. And people will have to call us back from our field trip with Jesus, and we didn't even have to go anywhere. We were right there the whole time. Miracles happen every day. They are all around us. Sometimes the greatest miracle is that transformation that happens within us as we're attentive to what God is doing around us. Would you pray with me? God, help us to hunger and long for you. Help us not be satisfied to go about our day in the same way. Rescue us, save us, redeem us from our routine, God. In some ways, Lord, we know it's a dangerous prayer, but disturb our comfort. Interrupt our routine so that you might surprise and delight us with your presence. We thank you for the way that you do not leave us alone. We thank you that we are not sentenced to a life of the mundane and the routine. We thank you that you are about the new thing. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who refreshes, revives, and renews. Do that mighty and powerful and wonderful work in us, we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.